Monroe Zoning Board, Monday, June 18th, 2018.
All right, good evening, everybody. We'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. This is the planning board meeting for the month of June 2018 for Town Monroe. We'll go ahead and get started by taking a look at the minutes from our May 21st, 2018 meeting. I'll give you a minute to refresh on those and ask if folks have any additions, deletions, or corrections.
I do have three things.
Okay, here.
Starting on page 2113.
2113.
All right, the third paragraph. There's a discussion about a large area, one corner unused. On the third line of that paragraph, it states it would not be necessary if there were septic in the area. I think septic should be sewer. In that case, we were discussing the area where the home currently is. It's going to be used for the septic system.
Okay.
And then the third paragraph from the bottom, there's the first line says, Mr. Martin asked how soon he has to be DOT, and Mr. Three,
that's code,
said,
what did I do?
You have Mr. Three,
oh.
Number three.
You know what? I think I sent an email asking for some name clarifications, and I didn't get them.
Okay. Well, I might have missed that email. I don't know what the right answer is.
I didn't either. Anybody have an idea?
You're right. It is code.
Last one was on 2114, and it was that the third paragraph of motion to set the public hearing for the HHHN was mad by Mr. Bouchard, who's not angry, but
somebody in the room probably was.
It was late. But that was incredible.
That was the same one. Any for you? Any other district allegiance corrections for the motions for the May 21st, 2018 minutes as amended?
Motion to approve the main meeting as
amended. Mike, Eric, do you have a second?
Oh, I'll second.
Second by Reed. Any further discussion? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
I'll abstain.
Two abstentions. All right, so our first item of business tonight is a public hearing for the Hudson Headwaters Health Network. Before we get started with that review, I would like to make a note that I've had a prior business relationship with the applicant, the sub-applicant, the applicant's representative. At this point, I don't have any contractual or other business or monetary relationships, so I just want to make sure that folks know that I've had a prior working relationship with these folks. So that being said, if you'd like to please go ahead and let us know what the latest is from where we left off last month.
Okay.
As well as who you are.
For the record, Richard Jones, I'm the architect representing Hudson Headwaters. With me is Craig Jones from my office, and I'm came from Green and Peterson, our civil engineers. Basically, we have had discussions with DOT, and in order for them to review the application, they're requiring us to complete a full traffic study. So that is in process at this time. They've given us no opinions on our entrance drive, our access point onto Route 9. They are aware of the Chasen traffic report that we had done when we were looking at various properties on Route 9. And based on what they've been telling us, all we can do is submit the data and wait for their review. With regard to the comments from the review engineer for the town, for the SWIP, I'll let John address those.
Okay. The thing that, point that we made last month is that the site, because the soils on the site are very well drained, and because everything on the site right now is just drained into the ground and doesn't go off site, the that a stormwater report would be needed, but a stormwater pollution prevention plan, which is what your permit proof from the DEC is not required because there is no discharge off-site even for 100 year event. However, LaVerge did do their review and indicated that as an FS4, the town has the authority to say you'd like to have a SWIP also, and that ensures that during construction, you have the right to go out and inspect and make sure all erosion control measures are in place and all of the practices that we said we're going to do are actually put in place by the contractor. And so we've had discussions with LaVerge. We've gone through every one of their comments, and they've identified that they're very satisfied with the analysis that we did, the way that we're managing stormwater, the way that we're managing erosion and sediment control, and said that they would be fine if this board wanted to condition the final approval on their sign off on the SWIP, and that the town planner also would hear that that they would be satisfied with what we've presented. So that's the update on this one.
I know one of the questions last time was in regard to the number of employees and patient visits that we would anticipate, and we did supply that information to Jim Martin in a letter. Basically, the Hudson Headwaters Network Medical Space, they're projecting 33 full-time employees and approximately 153 patient visits per day. The Glens Falls Hospital, their diagnostic space, they're anticipating 10 full-time employees and approximately 111 patient encounters per day. Some of the patient encounters that they would have would be referrals from the Hudson Headwaters practice, so it may be the same patient between the two, and we're not sure what that ratio would be. With the pharmacy, we would anticipate 4 full-time employees and approximately 80 customer encounters per day.
Did you say 80?
80, yes. And a lot of those encounters would be for the prescriptions that would be given to the patients from either Hudson Headwaters or Glens Falls Hospital. So again, they would already be on site. And again, we're not sure what that proportion or relation would be. We did have some questions regarding the turning radiuses for our delivery vehicles, and we included a sketch with the comment letter that we had sent back to Jim Martin. And as indicated on the sketch, we have adequate turning radiuses for vehicles for deliveries to both buildings, whether it be the pharmacy, which has a dedicated delivery point at the rear of the building, or to the Hudson Headwaters Glens Falls National or Glens Falls Hospital portion of the building on that side. So we have adequate turning radiuses. We have plenty of space for maneuvering of vehicles throughout the entire site. With that, I'd be happy to answer any other questions that anyone may have.
Just to update you on correspondence, I did get the letter, as Dick indicated. He also wrote a letter to the board dated June 8th regarding a time of essence review situation. We did get a sign-off on the seeker from New York State Parks Historic Preservation. They further say there will be no, they expect no impact on archaeological or historical resources. I wrote all the involved agencies as agreed upon, informing them of your desire to be lead agent. That was the Department of Health, DEC, Saratoga County Planning Board, and the New York State Department of Transportation. And of those, we got Saratoga County Planning Board provided a letter concurring, as the DEC. And let's see. In their letter from DEC, previous DEC surveys have documented extant populations of the state and federally endangered Karner blue butterfly and the state endangered frosted elfin on the site. Therefore, development of the parcel may require a permit pursuant to the DEC Endangered Species Act, and the applicant should request determination of jurisdiction pursuant to 6NYCRR Part 8, 182.9, and that was their comment there. And that's all the correspondence we've gotten. No, I think they're going to take it up at their meeting this month that follows this meeting.
Okay.
So I did not hear any employees of the pharmacy. I couldn't hear how many employees use it for the pharmacy.
Pharmacy would have four full-time.
That was also referenced in that letter.
Yes.
June 4th.
Yep.
Item 2. What was it? Jim, if you would indulge me once more, the response that we got back from DEC is related to
Sure. Previous DEC surveys have documented extant populations of the state and federally endangered Karner blue butterfly and the endangered frosted elfin on the site. Therefore, development of the parcel may require a permit pursuant to implementing Regulation 6NYCR Part 182 of the State Endangered Species Act. And the applicant should request a determination of jurisdiction pursuant to 6NYCRR Part 182.9. So,
have you taken any action on any of that at this point?
We haven't at this point.
No, not at this point. It's actually the first time I've heard that.
Okay.
We had identified that it was on the site. We went through the CRIS review and the AF review.
Sure.
And it really didn't make any hotspots, so this is their standard letter that requires us to coordinate
with them. Yeah, I would concur. That's their standard letter. This is only a week old. This came in, or was written on the 11th. We got it late last week.
So it's, that section is it's the takings section. We can do something that has the potential to have a taking on endangered species. We have to identify that in the state.
Sure. Okay. Any other updates?
That's it.
So in those words, that's just a, like a boilerplate type wording for this area?
Yeah, that's standard language. I've seen it, you know, when we encounter a potential for an endangered species. I'm not saying they are there.
Right.
According to their documentation or information they have on their records, it may be there. And a permit application will, they'll do some more detailed review in making that jurisdictional determination. In other words, it's much like a DOH permit. If you were to act on this before that's resolved, I would say that's a contingency, or I'd recommend that be a contingency of your approval or a condition.
Okay, thanks. So at this time, we'll go ahead and open it up for public hearing. So the public hearing is officially open. We would ask that as folks pose a question about the application or the project, whether it's a favor or whether it's a clarifying question, that you please state your name, your address, for purposes of the public record and the recording. And we'll ask that you maintain decorum throughout this process. With that, we'll go ahead and open it up for questions from the public.
I'm Joanne Whiting. I'm at 38 Fong Road. And so from what I've heard is that you're going to be building next to Dunkin' Donuts. The White House in front of me is going. And I want to know how much of the woods that you guys already own directly behind me.
It might be worthwhile to go through another, you know, highlight of the project.
Yeah. Arthur, is this your message right here? This is the house we're taking down.
That's me.
Okay. Basically, everything from this point back, all of the woods are staying here.
Okay.
And we are adding screening in this area around our driveway and along this side of the driveway.
Okay.
Okay.
And so you are coming pretty close. This is my property, and there's a stockade fence right
yes.
here.
Yep.
So you're coming pretty close to it then.
We're within probably 20 feet here, and we're within, I would say, 5 to 10 feet with parking space here.
What are you going to break ground? Or do you haven't decided yet?
Well, that's going to depend on the planning board. We would like to break ground right after Labor Day of this year. And it's about a 10-month construction. So this time next year, we would be complete with construction. We'd be doing fit-up on the building, putting the equipment, getting training done for employees, and they would probably be opening for business right around the beginning of July.
Any other questions? Or any follow-up questions for
I guess the only concern that's been brought up is the DOT traffic study and how that reflects when you can start. I think pretty much that's the only thing that really is up in the air, right?
That's correct. Basically, we're kind of at the mercy of DOT, and in discussions with my client, they basically said, whatever DOT requires, we're going to do because we want to be on that site.
So I guess this is a new one for me and the planning board. I don't know if you're going to remember one like this, but can you tell us a little bit more about what some of the reasons why those
ones? Well, I can explain to you how DOT looks at it. Whenever the Department of Transportation does what's known as a permit number 33, which is a curb cut permit on the state highway, if they feel that the initial traffic analysis work that was done and the changes that was done didn't give a complete picture of the peak periods, AM and PM, for both weekdays and weekends, then they ask for a traffic count so that they can then compare that to their standards. They'll look at that, they'll look at the trips that are generated by this project at those peak area time frames. And from that, they'll do a mathematical formula and let us know whether they feel a full service or a restricted service driver will be allowed. And so we started off with the regional engineer, Chad, his last name. It's now been referred down to Albany, which is right on Old Road, is where they're reviewing it right now. We met with them, they're the ones that identified they wanted the analysis done. Cameras were set up last week, and all that data was recorded, and right now we're in the process of analyzing all the trip generation, so the report should be done in another week, and then we'll get it back to them.
So when did you identify what you meet last week, did you, with them?
We met with them actually 2 weeks ago. Right after we had the meeting the last time, we talked to them, and started off with the resident engineer, and they got referred to Albany, and that's when they asked us to do the traffic study, and we started our study last week.
And when you say, one of the things that we were discussing last week is restricting the flow going north on the entrance going south to try to push the traffic for Aspire Falls, I think, and that's what they mean by restricting.
Well, actually, what they're looking at, they'll look at a number of different things. The first thing they'll look at is, does a full service, meaning no restriction on circulation, where they'll start. And if based on that, they feel that we're okay, that'll be the end of their analysis. If they then feel that there needs to be a restriction on a left turn in or a right turn in for some reason, they'll let us know that. We'll go from there. Really, waiting for them to. Well, they're actually waiting for us to give them the traffic study, which will be next week, and respond to us right away.
You mentioned, you said it was more than a camera. So was some filming done?
Actually, yes. When you do trip counts now, you used to sit there with a timer, and if you're really sit at the intersection, you just click the count. It's all done by cameras now. You set up cameras in the field, and you record the entire time frame that you're at, and you bring that back into the office, and you do your counts based on that.
So how long were you filming? Just during daylight hours? Or?
Your filming is done during the peak AM and peak PM periods, which are usually two-hour slots. Two-hour slot on weekday in the morning, two-hour slot, which is the peak PM period, and then on the same on Saturday.
It's usually 7 to 9 in the morning and 4 to 6 in the evening are considered the peak hours. The other thing they're going to look for is impact to the intersection. They're going to They're going to look at the operations of those intersections adjoining this site and make sure there's no degradation of the grade.
The level of service.
The level of service. And if there is, then they're going to impose mitigation. And the other thing they're going to look for is safety of turning movements. You know, a full movement access to this from Route 9, a left-hand turn in, that's usually problematic. But we'll see what they say.
That's probably the biggest concern is the traffic. But other than that, it's really not if you dealt with everything properly.
Right, and that's especially what DOT looks at. DOT's first objective is to ensure that traffic continues to flow.
So correct.
It's difficult sometimes when you think you should have a traffic light, they say no, it's just to keep the traffic moving.
And the very first thing you're going to do is make sure that they agree with their analysis. Because traffic studies, as you've seen, in my opinion, they're more art than science. You know, it's a matter of, you know, how you grade things, how you distribute traffic, what you assume the origins of the traffic are. There's a lot of assumptions that go into it. And they have to concur with their analysis, the formula that they've laid out.
Board, any other questions?
About the fire and emergency personnel, if they take a look at this, do you see any plans or anything?
To my knowledge, they have not. Have you had any contact with the fire?
No, we have not.
Shouldn't we? I didn't see any mention from last month that there was a report.
Very real question. I said it's a very real question to complete on. It may be advisable to take a copy of that plan and put it on file with the fire department. That way they have a record copy of where the hydrant locations are if they need them.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Okay. The hours of operation, I would understand that the medical center is 24-hour.
No.
That's in Headwaters. Okay, what?
No, it is not urgent care, it's primary care.
Okay.
Typically, staff will start to arrive between 6:30 and 7 in the morning.
Yep.
And patient hours are typically 8 to 4:30. And you may have patients that are still in the building after 5 o'clock, and staff is usually leaving anytime between 5 and 7 at night.
Dick, one question that came to mind here as we were making the presentation to the public hearing. You mentioned screening around the neighbor, the residential
yes.
neighbor.
Yes.
Could you embellish a little bit as to the quality of that screening and what it's going to consist of?
Yeah, the screening that we have proposed there, obviously our first effort will be to ensure we retain as much of the existing woods as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the screening will be evergreen, tall evergreen, trees that will be planted in there, so it's year-round screening. On the entry drive coming in, those will be deciduous trees mostly, but that's a different setting. It's just a different driveway.
And at a mature height and at maturity of these trees, that will obscure the view of this from the neighbor?
That's the intent.
Yeah, okay.
And the neighbor also still does have their existing 6 foot high fence.
Right, obviously. But I was.
Yeah. But that was the intent.
Okay.
Will the pharmacy hours be the same as what we talked about before, the 8 to 4:30, or?
Probably they will follow the hours of the night. They might be open on Saturday.
So they're not going to just, I guess you were trying to imply in your discussion that most of the people that use the facility we use in the pharmacy, now you're indicating that it's a Saturday use.
Well, and then you have other people wanting to use the pharmacy other than clients.
Well, the pharmacy is basically a public pharmacy. Part of the patients from Hudson Headwaters and Glens Falls Hospital's practices will be getting prescriptions, which they'll be filling in.
But you really can't predict the volume that the pharmacy would be creating.
Well, we can predict the volume for the pharmacy, which we have done based on a pharmacy that we had completed in Queensbury for Hudson Headwaters, attached to one of their buildings. And this facility is basically the same size, and it's the same purpose as that one. And it's basically part of their prescription program Hudson Headwaters has with the federal government.
So other Hudson Headwaters people, not necessarily... But I'm getting it. What I'll be very frank is, you're just not, it's going to be a public use, so you might have more people than you realize using that facility.
I don't think so, because based on the numbers that I gave you, that was for the facility in Queensbury, which incorporates both patients from Hudson Headwaters and the public. So other people are coming on site using that pharmacy as well.
And the facility in Queensbury is of similar size.
Yes, it's approximately 500 square feet.
Yes. Okay. Similar number.
Right, we know the whole bit. Yeah. And they not only have prescriptions, they not only provide prescriptions, they have general items that any pharmacy could have. So
it's a retail operation?
Yes, it is. Yes. Any pharmacy is a retail.
So is it going to be 6 days or 7 days?
It's more likely going to be six. The one in Queensbury is not 7 days. They depend on a lot of trade from Hudson Headwaters facilities. So there's no options. There's no advantage to them being open on site.
And have they found with the one in the Queensbury location that primarily follows the patterns of the patients that are visiting the building? Do they get many more visits from folks outside of that?
I would say it's probably 50-50.
50-50. Okay. The six-day operation...
And the Saturday operation, I think, is like 9 to 2. Okay. So it's not even a day Saturday.
But, and that, I guess, piece of the operation or that tenant hasn't been named at this time? I'm not sure who we're talking about.
No. Okay. Has not been named.
We had, I guess, just going back for my clarification, for stormwater purposes, there was kind of, I'll jump and then you can follow up if I miss anything, but when I read the June 11th note from LaBerge, right, it kind of broke down three large buckets, if you will, in terms of things that they felt needed to be supplemented, right, for the project. One was that the first category was their indication that they felt that the project stormwater report could be considered as the overall SWIP for the project if it was supplemented with, they had four items in it, right? Then the next section was our potential approval of the site plan could/should be contingent on the items that they then listed below needing to be resolved, and there was another, I guess, eight items there. And then lastly, they recommended that the board be supplied with a construction schedule that would allow the building department to schedule their reviews throughout the construction. I guess, based on what you had said prior and the conversation that I think you had, John, with the LaBerge supplement to this, these are all items that you're considering that are going to be addressed, or do we, like what as planning board tonight, what would we expect to see as the next step relative to this?
Okay, so what they have asked for are typical items that are in a full stormwater pollution prevention plan, which we have a draft of that completed now. We've gone through that.
Okay.
The first items really are forms that are in there. So they've asked for a full set of our plans, but they already have a full set, so they already have those plans. The second item and the third item are actually forms that you have in there that the contractor is a certified contractor that understands that the road program. And the same with any subcontract certifications for that. Those are forms that are standard forms. So those have been included. And then the installation of erosion and sediment control devices, those are all on our drawings. In the stormwater report itself, you include a section in there that is a narrative description of that also. And so that's a standard thing in our standard discussion. So that's all covered. The second part of it really are parts that get included in the stormwater practice to show primarily operation and maintenance after you've built your practice. What you're going to do is an operation and maintenance manual that goes along with that. And that has been prepared, and draft that is going to them along with the SWIP. There is a requirement that when you do a stormwater practice, we're doing subsurface storage of water recharge. If you put a placard up that just says the stormwater practice here, that's one of the items they asked for. That detail has been added to our drawings right now. They have requested a detailed stone check dam that we have, again, a standard DEC practice, so that was included on the drawings now for the contractor. They wanted some general erosion and sediment control notes. There was one in particular that we wanted to modify. It had to do with stockpiling the soils on the property and where we were going to do it, how it was going to be managed. That's already been taken care of. And then there, based on that, they wanted more detail on the construction sequencing, which really then dovetails to the last part, which was a schedule to be given to the building department. And that's primarily so the building department can schedule their inspections around when the construction practices are going to take place. Normally, if you had a SWIP that had a weekly inspection requirement, you would have a manual on site, and you would have a certified inspector that would go out once a week to review it anytime there's a big storm event. Because there's no SWIP required by DEC for the actual DEC permit, that is going to shift to the town, and the town will coordinate that. And as the town and the MS force, you always have that right to do that if the DEC is doing this, requiring inspections.
That's helpful, thanks. So when do you feel at this point the final, I guess, SWIP will be ready?
We were pushing to have a draft report of that tonight, and I said, well, it's not going to be good to give it to the board tonight. So we'll have it out this week.
Okay. The draft will be out this week.
Yeah. For their review. And I would imagine if it's okay, we'll probably just send a copy to you and a copy to them at the same time.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. As long as we have a copy for the original file.
Right.
These are the type of things that I think we have some time here, given the status of DOT, to clean up these other loose ends, so there's not a need for a long list of conditional approval here. We can get these things buttoned down. These are details and things like that are fairly standard, but yet they need to be there in the complete set before we sign off on this.
So then, for you, Jim, from the staff notes that you had prepared for us on May 15th, anything left there outstanding that we haven't talked about so far?
No, I think my comments were addressed. I went through and double checked. From my standpoint, I'm good. I think the big concern here now is the DOT sign off on the driveway permit and what configuration that will take.
Sure. Well, Board, I guess what do you feel is our next step here?
How confident are you that your site plan is not going to change?
I think the...
That's a broader question.
Yeah, it is. I'm used to that. The basic site plan is very solid. I think the only thing that could change would be the type of entry that we would be allowed to have on Route 9, whether it be a full service or whether it be a limited service. That would be the only change. Where I'm going is if we can get a conditional approval based upon complying with whatever DOT wants us to do as part of the project, my client has basically said that we will do that. And I think as a condition of the approval, if we don't have a DOT permit, don't give us a building. I mean, it's that simple.
DOT is, their requirements are pretty cut and dry.
Yes, they are.
The one I was kind of focusing on is these endangered folks. if they come out and tell you that you have a particular area, thou shalt not enter, and happen to be right in the middle where you're going to block your building, then what's going to happen?
The permit that I was referring to is what's known as a taking permit. The only thing they would do is they would identify whether or not there is a potential habitat for Carl Blue or for the bird. And if there is, then they look to see whether or not there's a potential for a taking or a destruction, and they limit your practices on when you can do that. But they do not restrict the right of the project because of that. This is not a critical habitat for either one of those. It's just a known area. And I would think that we will have an answer on that before we get an answer from DOT.
DOT is small.
DOT is the high.
Well played.
The first step is the analysis, the second step is the principal permit, and then the final step is when you have a contractor selected in the installation.
Now, your application to DOT is for the entrance as shown.
Yes, the application will go in for the entrance as shown with the analysis, and then they will do a review and come back and tell us whether they agree or don't agree. And if they don't, then they will identify what they will allow.
Okay. And if it, at that point it results in a reconfiguration of the site plan?
When you do a DOT curb cut permit, the only thing that will change on this, the physical geometry of the driveway will not likely change. The throat will be the same. If they make it a one-way out only, an exit only, they would probably restrict it to a right-in, right-out. If they did that, there's just a small center island that would be put in there for that simulation site. But otherwise, the radius is the width of the driveway that all stays pretty much the same. If anything, that driveway would narrow down for some reason if it was just an exit only. Typically, they'll allow a right-in and a right-out without any issues.
So then you don't see any situation where the location of that driveway would be changing based on DOT direction?
No, the site distances on that stretch of road doesn't matter where it is along there, it's basically the same site distance as the distance from the intersection and all that. So we're kind of in the middle between all of them.
Yeah, I understand that. I just was wondering if there would be any reason that DOT would drive you to change.
Their comments so far have not been related to that. Their comments are more third generation traffic. Yeah.
Let me just talk about the pharmacy a little bit further. Which pharmacy, the pharmacy that's in Blue, what company is running that one?
It's Kinney Drugs.
Kinney? Okay. I'm just concerned that I know what you're saying, but I want to consider what Kinney's going to do based on, because of the location. You have two pharmacies in the village. The next pharmacy is in Wilton. At 8, 9, 10 miles, you've got a ton of residential homes. It looks like it's an excellent location for people to come use a pharmacy and it will be a retail operation. And I wouldn't be surprised if people want to use that for convenience factor for.
It would be, because of the size, it's going to be very limited in what it stocks. The primary intent is the prescription aspect of it. As I said, there will be some limited retail.
Okay.
But the intent is not to sell retail goods. The intent is to sell prescriptions.
Can we get the shades dropped for blinding people out here?
The shade?
Oh. For blinding people out here.
Full service. And I'm changing phone gears from a different perspective. The convenience store / gas station, what are you using what are you going to do to create a berm between or to block that? Are you doing any physical between you and that property there.
Toward the intersection where the light is?
Yeah, behind their property and along their side. You're abutting that. Are you doing anything to...
We have some plantings going in there, but what I'd really like to see is them do a dumpster enclosure. That would help us considerably.
There was a note from last month, Jim, that you were going to...
Yes, no, I haven't gotten any return yet, but I'll continue to pursue it.
Okay. There is a grade change there. There's actually a natural break there. Yeah. They sit up higher than we do. Yeah. And there are some limited vegetation that's up there that they've left. And then we have some screening on our side. So we will be, fortunately, we won't be looking right in to the gas station. We'll be looking into the hill at the square.
Any other questions for? Any other questions? All right. I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing. With that board, we'll go into the speaker review. Anybody have a copy from last month?
We sure did. That's right, that's exactly right.
So this is a full environmental assessment which was submitted by Hudson Headwaters Health Network as the applicant. As it relates to part one, did folks have any questions, anything that struck them as needing additional detail or not providing adequate background information in order for us to move on to part two? Cliffs, dunes, minnows, fossils, or caves?
No, no.
We're going to skip that section. Three, impacts on surface water, the first part of yes or no. Proposed action may affect one or more wetlands or other surface water bodies, for example, streams, rivers, ponds, or lakes.
No.
I'm sorry, was that the okay. So, skip to section four, impact on groundwater. First part is yes or no. The proposed action may result in new or additional use of groundwater or may have the potential to introduce contaminants to groundwater or an aquifer.
No.
We have on-site septic, right?
Yes.
So is it, for me, does it have the potential to introduce a contaminant to groundwater?
If not, the OH won't let them do it.
Right. We have more than 4 foot of separation for the bottom of our trenches. We need all of the OH standards. We have that perfect. So as long as the DOH issues the permit, then they're certified for compliance.
So, board, you feel this is a no?
Yes.
Restrictions and stuff there, or is there?
So it asks you things like the proposed action may require new water supply wells. Water supply demand from the proposed action may exceed safe and sustainable withdrawal capacity. The proposed action may allow a result in residential uses in areas without water. The proposed action may include or require wastewater discharge or groundwater.
And you
so you've got municipal water around the site, and we have separation from the groundwater sources.
Right. So, no small.
Actually, when you look at water demand, soils that we have all intent is that the water is purified going through that system.
Right.
To make up water for an aquifer, actually, is something that wastewater standards have come.
So back to the original framing question, the proposed action may result in new or additional use of groundwater or may have potential to introduce contaminants to groundwater or yes or no?
No.
Nothing. Okay. Impact on flooding. Number five, proposed action may result in development on lands subject to flooding.
No.
Six, impacts on air. Proposed action may include a state-regulated air emission source. In the pharmacy, it's just all prescriptions. There's not any formulators or other compounding that's going on or anything like that. So, no. Impacts on plants and animals. Number seven, the proposed action may result in a loss of flora or fauna.
No.
Let's give it. Well, here's some questions for you. Here's what it's going to ask you. Proposed action may cause reduction in population or loss of individuals with any threatened or endangered species.
No.
The proposed action may result in a reduction or degradation of any habitat used by any rare, threatened, or endangered species.
No.
We have a response from those folks out in the
how do we know? Man?
We know. So we can't say yes, we can't say no.
And how do I answer this?
I don't know.
I think you have an opportunity for a moderate impact, and we'd have to when you go into part three, I think you have to make note of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it says no or small impact may occur, moderate to large impact may occur. So,
until we have the permit situation with DEC resolved.
So let's swing back up and say the proposed action might it result in a loss of flora or fauna? We're going to say it might, yes. A, proposed action may cause reduction in population or loss of individuals of any threatened or endangered species, as listed by New York State or the federal government, that use the site or are found on, over, or near the site. No or small, moderate or large.
Based on the size of the property, I would say that you'd be safe by saying moderate to small, or small to moderate.
You just made up a category. It's actually no or small. And I appreciate the I was about to make the same comment.
Put the check mark and you can know.
Okay, thanks. So the proposed action may result in a reduction or degradation of any habitat used by any rare, threatened, or endangered species as listed by New York State or the federal government.
No or small.
No.
What's that, Peter?
We don't know, but hey.
So, small.
When you get to part three, I would just identify that section, then you're going to defer to determination from the DEC under 182.9 determination is significant.
So, do we want to give a no to small or a moderate more?
I would like to say no to small.
Board?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I think just based on physical size. That's my only base. It's just a small base.
Okay, go to that. Okay. C, the proposed action may cause reduction in population or loss of individuals of any species of special concern or conservation need as listed by New York State or the federal government that use the site or are found on, over, or near the site.
No or small.
D, the proposed action may result in a reduction or degradation of any habitat used by any species of special concern and conservation need as listed by New York State or the federal government.
The letter did not identify special concern.
Right, it's the endangered.
It's just endangered, so there were no special concerns.
Well, that's no or small.
Because most of the land is a field. There's only a small percentage of the property, the cumulative lots that have actually wooded, that might have habitat. The rest of it is just flat grass.
So we're continuing now with question 7 for impact on plants and animals, item B, which is the proposed action may diminish the capacity of a registered national natural landmark to support the biological community it was established and protected.
No.
The proposed action may result in the removal of or ground disturbance in any portion of a designated significant natural community.
No.
The proposed action may substantially interfere with nesting slash breeding, foraging, or overwintering habitat for the predominant species that occupy or use the project site.
No.
No or small. The proposed action requires the conversion of more than 10 acres of forest, grassland, or any other regionally or locally important habitat.
No.
The proposed action, commercial, industrial, or recreational projects only, which we have a commercial project, involves the use of herbicides or pesticides.
No.
A, impact on agricultural resources. Yes or no? The proposed action may impact agricultural resources.
No.
9, impact on aesthetic resources. Yes or no? The land use of proposed action are obviously different from or are in sharp contrast to current land use patterns between the proposed project and a scenic or aesthetic resource.
No.
Number 10, yes or no? Impact on historic and archaeological resources. The proposed action may occur in or adjacent to a historic or archaeological resource.
We did have to sign off on that.
We had that, yes. So that's a good job. That was 10. 11, impact on open space and recreation. Yes or no? The proposed action may result in a loss of recreational opportunities or a reduction of an open space resource as designated in any adopted municipal open space plan.
No.
12. Impact on critical environmental areas. Yes or no? The proposed action may be located within or adjacent to a critical environmental area or CEA.
No.
13. Impact on transportation. The proposed action may result in a change to existing transportation systems.
No.
Yes or no?
No.
No?
No.
No. Okay. No question. Okay, let's talk a little bit. Projected traffic increase may exceed capacity of existing road network. And again, it's no slash small or moderate slash large. Proposed action may result in the construction of a paved parking area for 500 more vehicles. Proposed action will degrade existing transit access. The proposed action will degrade existing pedestrian or bicycle accommodations. The proposed action may alter the present pattern of movement of people or goods.
Maybe.
Let me go back to the initial question, yes or no. Proposed action may result in a change to existing transportation systems.
And just to remind the board that they are projecting by their estimate total of 75 cars in the AM peak hour, and a total of 113 trips in the PM peak hour.
Is that for the pharmacy?
Yes.
Okay. Can I interrupt? Do you think with the public transportation need to be extended to that, because that almost 197 right now? Would public transportation be needed for that facility, or you don't foresee that?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know if it's a good answer.
There was a, just going to go read a little more, there was reference from the Shazen note back in October that they also used that AGFTC as a 17 or 9 quarter lane transportation study. I can't remember if that said anything about that or not.
Sure. This really,
that would be the only
I just thought about now is, you know, I don't need to get out to that.
I mean, if there's a need, maybe it could eventually be, sure. I think it's part of the five.
Yes.
Prescribing. So, yes or no? Does the proposed action may result in a change to existing transportation system?
No.
14, impact on energy, yes or no? Proposed action may cause an increase in the use of any form of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a yes? The proposed action will require a new or an upgrade to an existing substation.
Mm-hmm.
The proposed action will require the creation or extension of an energy transmission or supply system to serve more than 50 single or two family residences or to serve a commercial or industrial use.
No.
The proposed action may utilize more than 2,500 megawatt hours per year of electricity. Proposed action may involve heating and or cooling of more than 100,000 square feet of building area when completed. 15. Impact on noise, odor, and light. Yes or no? The proposed action may result in an increase in noise, odors, or outdoor lighting. Yes or no?
No, so
yes. They get into the section, Peter.
Well, it's going to be lit. It's
going to be
contained on the site. So
it's minimal.
You could use this as a good way to identify that. So we'll give it a yes. The proposed action may produce sound above noise levels established by local regulation.
No.
B. The proposed action may result in blasting within 1,500 feet of any residence, hospital, school, licensed daycare center, or nursing home.
No.
The proposed action may result in routine odors for more than 1 hour per day.
No.
D. The proposed action may result in light shining onto adjoining properties.
No.
E. The proposed action may result in lighting creating sky glow brighter than existing area conditions.
All downcast, right?
All downcast.
It's nice back in flash.
Okay. 16. Impact on human health. Yes or no? Proposed action may have an impact on human health from exposure to new or existing sources of contaminants.
No.
17. Consistency with community plan. Yes or no? Proposed action is not consistent with adopted land use plans.
No. It's not consistent.
No, they are not consistent. Right. So it's kind of a but.
Yes, it is consistent.
The proposed action.
That's a negative question.
Yeah. Right. But in this case, it says that there's no, then you skip this action.
So I think it's no is the answer to the
question.
It's not. It's not
changing.
If you feel it's consistent with the community plan, the answer is no.
No.
Okay. Forgot that thing. That's clear. So 18, consistency with community character. Yes or no? The proposed project is inconsistent with the existing community character.
No.
Thank you. That concludes part two. I mean, conditions, producing corrections. So, item 7, I think, right, Sam? Is that the one that we were debating about? Which was impact on plants and animals. Part three is where we get into our determination of significance. And in this case, this is where we want to identify some of the follow-up activities.
We identify that a New York State DEC Part 182.9 determination on endangered species table is going to happen, and the DEC would be asked to review that and make a determination of a 30-day period to do that. I think it has for an extension on that, but that's typically what they have to be.
So, Board, at this point in Part 3, you guys have three options. A is the project will result in no significant adverse impacts on the environment, therefore, an environmental impact statement need not be prepared. Accordingly, you issue a negative declaration. That's A. B, although the project could have a significant adverse impact on the environment, that impact would be avoided or substantially mitigated because of the following conditions, which will be required by the lead agency, which would speak to what we just spoke about.
Yeah, so if the agency would require an agency to take in for anything else,
we'd have to comply with that. There will therefore be no significant adverse impacts from the project as conditioned, and therefore this condition of negative declaration is issued. A condition of negative deck may be used only for unlisted actions.
This is an unlisted action.
This is an unlisted action. So it could apply in this case. And C would be the need for an environmental impact statement. So are we thinking that and as far as the language that you'd like to insert in that condition, do we want to have John give us that?
I think that was an accurate representation what he stated there about obtaining the DEC permit.
Did you get all that?
I did not.
It is it's actually a request. A Part 182.9 is a request of the DEC to make a determination if, in fact, there is a potential impact to threatened endangered species on the property because they have identified this in particular area.
So I would say determination of the need for a Part 182.9 permit from NYSDEC.
Part 182.9.
Pursuant to a letter dated June 11th, 2018, from Susan Klickner, Program Aid.
Give me that date again, please.
June 11th, 2018, from Susan Klickner, C-L-I-C-K-N-E-R, Program Aid.
I'm going to give it to you again, Board.
Yes.
I didn't take one more. This is the one that we're selecting so far. We're setting the determination of the need for a Part 182.9 New York State DEC, did you say review or
determination?
Permit.
Decision. Permit decision.
Pursuant to a letter dated June 11, 2018 from
Susan Klickner.
Susan Klickner.
Programming.
Give me the spelling again, please.
C-L-I-C-K-N-E-R. I dedicated it to memory.
So, Board, so far we've identified the Part 3 that we feel that although this project could have a significant adverse impact on the environment, that impact could be avoided or substantially mitigated because of the following conditions, which we as lead agency require. Termination of the need for Part 182.9 New York State DEC permit decision pursuant to a letter dated June 2018 from Susan Klickner, Program Aid. All right, Board, I did my part. We're going to next with the full environmental assessment form for the Monroe Family Health Facility.
Motion to declare conditional negative, or for a conditional negative declaration.
Conditional negative declaration, which is appropriate for this unlisted action. So I've got a...
I would say as per the Part 3 form.
As per the Part 3 form. I have a motion for a negative declaration by Jerry. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
And a
Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Antis?
Yes.
Mr. Bergman?
Yes.
Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mr. Jensen?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. Motion carries. I'll get this all cleaned up for us a little bit later, okay?
Yes, that's good.
Okay, board, what next?
So, were we waiting for the county?
Yes, the county has not made a recommendation.
We have the county getting back to us, we have DOT getting back to us. Is there anybody else?
Well, I would say the DEC permit should be in any kind of decision.
The third thing.
And then the SWIFT.
And then you're controlled by the county.
Right.
So, we have four items right now.
Yeah, so I think, Jim, check our math on this, but the two conversations, I think at this point we need additional information or follow-up information from DOT based on how the traffic study is reviewed and received. But
yep.
We have yet to hear back from Sarcoa County. We had a question regarding the referral to the fire department and emergency services for their peer review. And we haven't seen the final version of the SWIFT. Is that what you had?
Yep. That's five items.
DEC is related to the item that we just referenced in
our endangered species.
Yeah. And then DOH for septic. Have they, where's the DOH produced? Yeah.
The all of that information has been supplied to them. Waiting on them to give us some better feedback.
Do you perceive because you have to remove the building? The house and everything before you, is that going to hold them up before they can review the land or?
No, their primary assessment is they look at our loading, what we say the facility is going to generate as far as wastewater flows. They look at the percolation tests and heat test pits, which we've been able to do on the property.
So when you do the demolition, the whole building, the basement?
That all has to go, yes. Right back to county.
Comes out.
Has to go right back to county. And then a similar material problem.
Were you able to probably take some soil from the aid that you're working with and use that for fill, or were you have to probably?
I have not done a cut and fill analysis on the site yet based on the grading that we have. If there is on site material, we'll clearly use that first because it's the same material.
Just one second,
not as nice sand pit as across
north. Yes.
Yeah, the foundation of that material will have to go. I'm talking about, for example, where the stormwater chamber system is. There's a chamber system going in. So we'll have soil we have to excavate to get the chambers in. And that soil will be sort of
sure.
Review some of this.
Yes, sir.
So I think you can correct me with your help, Chair. We got six.
What do you guys think your chances are of getting all of the answers to all six in the next month? Any being the list?
I can't really tell you that we would get it within the next month. I think that because we don't have a time limit of the essence, if you were to give us a condition site plan approval on all those conditions, they would all have to be met before we can get any signatures on satellite. But at least then our client would be able to move forward with the financing.
Yeah. The thing right now is they need to purchase the property. The purchase agreement expires the end of June. Mm-hmm. And they need to be able to close on a $1.5 million loan. And they can't do that until we have site plan approval with the negative declaration. So
a conditional report.
Yes, even though we don't have a supporting document for that yet.
Okay, well, I think that's not the right way to phrase it, but we're making that condition based on getting a report back from the state saying that there is no impact.
And now you can maybe put another condition on that condition. You have a condition site approval.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that
we would be aligned then to at least the issue right now is that we've sort of got a catch point here. We don't have a condition site plan approval to go back to the lender and to them and say that we have this as long as we meet these conditions. They may then say, okay, we'll start the process and you have to meet those conditions in order for us to complete our funding. If we don't have the condition site plan approval, they won't even start the process, and that's where we run the risk of not being able to close the process.
Yeah.
Okay.
The condition approval is with the financing is for closing. They're ready to close on this property or on the loan for the construction, but they won't do it without a site plan approval and a negative seeker.
Because you then you know you can use the property. Right now it's still okay.
No, I guess back to your. Give me that last part again, Chip, if you wouldn't mind again.
The property has a time of essence.
No, I got that
in June. And they're ready to close on the construction loan.
Yep.
To close on it, they need the site plan approval and a negative declaration on the seeker.
And what if it's a condition negative deck?
That's fine. It's a negative deck.
It's a conditional site plan.
Yeah. And it's a condition. That's fine.
That's exactly where we're at.
It's not discretionary anymore. As long as we meet those conditions, you will have the permit. But right now, it's totally discretionary anymore whether you work or not. Right side.
And the point is, if you can't, for whatever unforeseen thing.
Jim, do you see any issues that are.
The only thing I would advise the board is to say, in the review of this application, do you see anything of a discretionary nature that is impacted by one of these items being fulfilled? You know, in other words, is there anything out there that, you know, is unquantifiable in your mind or is still not resolved, with any one of these six items? If there is, then you bring it back. If there is not, then you could proceed with, consideration of the decision.
To that point, the only thing that I see that possible has an impact is the traffic. Everything else, I think they can easily meet and be dealt with in that problem. And that the traffic, how much of a concern is that for us?
Well, and again, I think back to that point, it seems reasonable to believe that there is going to be a fundamental change to the site plan as it relates to that traffic review. It would be along the lines that you described. That the throat opening might alter a bit. There might be an island between the throat opening to direct traffic flow. Or you might see it go so far as to limit access in but and not allow access out. Maybe it requires you to only discharge on Sparkfall, right? Like those would be some of the scenarios that I think you could throw at you.
Okay.
So, in terms of our review, right, for the overall site plan, that probably
could well, and to Reed's point there, if there is a change to the site plan as a result of one of these conditions being filled, then they would have to come back here for approval of that revision.
Well, hang on, I'm going to take this. I think they're coming back either way. Even if tonight we move forward with it. Wouldn't it be like a condition preliminary approval or?
No, we're pretty much. Everything is done. They're waiting to get things completed on their end. They get completed, they go to Jim. Here, we've got this set up, we've got this set up, we've got all these things signed off. Boom. Then Jim contacts us, the Mylars they sign, they break ground.
So, as a board, then we don't see the potential impact of that review come back to us at all then?
The only thing that comes out of the question is how much pressure DOT puts on them for traffic flow.
Well, it's up to you. I mean, if you're not comfortable,
oh,
And you want to say okay. Or you can approve it conditionally and you won't see it again.
Let me remind
if the conditions are met.
As a planning board member, if this letter that Dick wrote to me, and this has happened before, which I'm a little bit frustrated by, so I'll try to temper my frustration by that. Absent this letter that you wrote on June 8th, thank you. I had it. It's messed up. I don't know that we'd be even given a preliminary tonight. We've got six contingencies, which are decent. I think I'd want to see it back. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'm saying that this board, typically, when we get to this point, I think we've got a decision of, okay, board, what do you think? We've got the items that we're waiting on. Do you need to see it back, or are you done, right?
Right. I mean, and to Jim's point, is there one that's anything that has a big crux? I think five out of six are pretty fundamentally just time-related issues. The only one that has, in my opinion, that has been always been the major problem issue is the traffic. And everything else they've done is fine. So, I guess the dead point is, if there's any fundamental change due to the traffic, well, they're forced to come back. But by giving them the contingency, they can move forward financially.
What's the? There is one other thing we could offer. If you put conditions on site plan approval, you could include in your conditions that we, as the applicants, come back and report to you. Either the next meeting or two meetings out on progress on addressing all of those comments. And you could even, if you wanted, you could set a timeline on when your condition approval would expire.
And we've been doing that recently. I'm not discussing.
So that at least you're covered to know that we would come back and report on our progress, and that would at least allow us to continue on with our.
And I've seen, you know, the board of members, you seem to be more comfortable with that. And then you're talking to the applicant directly and you understand what's going on and why. And if there's been a delay, you understand why.
And so do you.
Yeah. Well, you don't rely on some other, you know, me or someone else providing that interpretation for you. You hear it directly from the applicant and you have opportunity for an exchange.
What are your thoughts, Mark? Do you see that kind of additional follow-up with a short timeline, or what would be your prerogative related to the, I guess, what looks like six contingencies at the top?
I would personally be comfortable with having the applicant appear before us again within 90 days to report any progress in resolving the conditions that we may put as approved.
60 days as well.
Okay.
I would say 60 days, because I think most of that will be done in 60 days anyhow.
Yes. Yeah, we, in order for us to get on the ground in September, we need to be done in 60 days.
Yeah. So it would be
reasonable if we did decide to ask you to come back and put that 60-day window on that.
Yeah, and, you know, you meet once a month. And
yes.
As we receive information back, either John or myself or all of us could come to the meeting and basically give you an update on where
we're
at.
Well, then we can simply say by the August meeting then.
Yes, I think that's more than that.
No. If it's okay, then I just want to catch down real quick. So we've been through the public hearing, we've been through the seeker review, we have a condition negative declaration, and the condition on the negative declaration is as it relates to this, what they refer to as the determination of the need for a Part 182.9 DEC permit decision. This was that letter that Susan Clifford wrote on June 11, 2018, which speaks to the potential for iron blue or frosted elf. So there's still some more work to be done on that, is the bottom line. So that was one contingency. Another condition or contingency would be the DOT review of the septic. The one large one is the requirement by DOT for a full traffic study. That was kind of a new one for the team. So they started doing traffic counting last week. They put together a detailed report at DOT to review that. Another contingency is we haven't heard back from Sarasota County yet. Another condition would be the contingency is that we haven't referred it to the fire department and emergency services. We wanted them to be able to take a look at it. And lastly, was well, certainly not least, is that we haven't got the final SWIFT completed. So we've got six conditions or contingencies at this point for the project to be able to be considered.
And they're talking about a seventh now, that they would have to come back within
correct.
60 days to report on their progress on these conditions.
So that's kind of the umbrella over these six, is the requirement to come back within the next 60 days and give us an update on how they're progressing. And one of the big things that we were talking about as you walked in, John, is the one potential change to the site plan could come by way of two things, right? The DOT review, right? So it could change the way you physically enter or exit the site. And the second part could be this, I can't remember what you called it, John, this potential for taking, right? Like that
right,
could be some buffering.
That's what that part 182.9 review is. Yeah. EC would make a determination of whether or not the public's habitat could be lost and it's considered taking.
So it might have potential impact a little bit on the site. We don't think it.
You don't think the DOH on the server will be an issue?
No, we've already been in touch with them and with the start of protest and we know what our design is for the septic system. We're fully compliant with the standard septic system.
I just saved an hour and 23
minutes. I'll apologize to everybody. It's my daughter's fifth grade graduation.
We'll allow it this time, okay?
I love this job.
All right.
So,
this is my payback for last month.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I hear as quick as I could.
Yeah, good. Thanks. So, okay, board, what do you think?
If I could just ask one question. From your standpoint, the impetus for asking for conditional approval
is this.
And then a review 60 days later is okay.
To start the financial ball rolling.
Okay. I'll take a crack to the motion.
Yeah, you can go ahead. I'm just going to read it.
All right. I'll make a motion for approval of the final site plan. Hudson Headwaters Health Network, Moreau Family Health Center, with the following conditions. One, receipt of approval of New York State DOT. Two, receipt of approval of New York State DEC. Three, receipt of approvals by Town Engineer Swift. Four, receipt of approval of New York State DOH. 5, receipt of approval of Saratoga County. 6, receipt of approval of fire and emergency services. 7, an appearance by the applicant by the August 2018 regular meeting of the Town Moreau Planning Board to report on progress in resolving the conditions listed in this motion.
The motion for final approval with 7 conditions by Jerry for the Hudson Headwaters Health Network Rural Family Health. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
I have a second by Reed. Do I have any further discussion? Please call the roll, please.
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Antis?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Bergman?
Yes.
Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mr. Jensen?
Yes.
Mr. Sherman?
Yes. Motion carries. Do you have anything else you'd like to do or
do we wish once we do receive the traffic study that it be referred to the town consultant?
Is that the form of a motion or are we what kind of rigor is that?
I
had that same thought here. Again, that's in the past, that's what we customarily thought, right? That we do that, you know. But again, it's up to the board. That's Peter Faith has done in the past for us, a peer review of traffic study or traffic.
Peter Faith is the one who's actually doing the study.
Oh, well, that's going to make it difficult.
I've heard of peer review, but that's.
Well, he's got monopoly on it?
Anyway, we'll argue that. Yeah, the border, Stan Peter is asking.
Yes.
I understand.
What was the last before we wind up with another?
Rockefeller. Exit 17 gas station, put it in the front lane, don't put it in. Everybody says do it. DOT in here, no one's in here. And then it took us 6 months to get a letter from us to tell us not to do what they told us to do. We don't want it back.
Okay. I will agree.
So again, this particular review that DOT has requested is really to determine whether or not how they will look at a curb cut permit, as opposed to a generation analysis to see if there is significant impact to the regional intersection evaluation. So I would say that if you want to, you could refer it to an outside consultant, but I would imagine they would come back and say we have to defer to DOT because it's ultimately their determination.
It's a little different than the ones that we've had in the past too, because the DOT hasn't been involved in the trip generation aspect.
Could you repeat that, please?
Right. Well, for example, if we're going to do a new shopping center, you would have significant trip generation that you would have. You would expect that the town would want to look at it not only through DOT, but as your own traffic consultant to look at it. Okay. In our particular case, Chazen had already done a trip generation analysis and came back and concluded that the trip generation was not significant based on the peak periods. The DOT is looking at this more for traffic movement at the intersection for a curb cut. How many people are going to try to make that left turn in the peak AM or peak PM periods that are potentially going to cause traffic backup if they do based on our curb cut challenge. So they're looking at it from that perspective. They're not looking at it as, is this a big traffic generator in the region? Is it going to change the level of service that you would have in any of the existing intersections?
So they're not studying the impact on two intersections on either side. They're studying the impact of our curb cut on Route 9 to those two intersections.
Right. So the first thing we've asked for is a full service curb cut, meaning people can accept that full service. Right. So that's primarily why they are asking for this trip generation and background traffic maps.
Well, we are ahead of the curve.
However, it is still going to look at the impact on the level of service at those
intersections. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And they will comment on that also. But I'm just saying that, you know, if we have a conflict because Peter can't review it for you, then you want to run a consultant.
Sure.
LaVert should probably do it. You've already got
LaVert
looking at it, so I would imagine you could find somebody else.
Just FYI, that will require another escrow payment, no matter who the consulting engineer is, an agreed upon amount, deposit up front.
So I want to be clear, because last month we discussed this, that we were a little concerned about the in out on that one. And out. So if I'm reading it, if I'm understanding the letter I read there quick, time is of the essence. So basically, if DOT comes back to you and goes, okay, we looked at your study, and this is what we want, you're basically
agreeing that that's what we will do. So what we did is, right after the last meeting, we missed the introduction office.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We immediately went to the regional engineer, who then got us together with me, a local engineer in Albany, and they then took a look at all the information we supplied, and they said they wanted a full traffic study. The Chazen study didn't give enough detail. So we have already begun that traffic study with all of the cameraing of the intersections and all of the areas, and the trip data is now being gathered. We hope to have that report done by the end of next week and get back to DOT for review.
Okay.
So for Peter's question, what do you wish to do? Do you need to have a peer review of the traffic study that is prepared, or do you not?
It's appropriate that we should, yes.
And to that, do I have a motion?
So moved.
So to Peter's motion of asking for a peer reviewed a peer review of the traffic study once prepared and made final and presented to the board. Do I have a second? So I have a motion by Peter and a second by Mike. Do I have any further discussion? it's not too controversial. Would you call the roll?
Yeah.
All right. All in favor, aye. Opposed? Abstention? I shall concur. Motion carried. Thank you, Peter. All right, please. There's probably one other thing that you might want to do.
Make a motion that once fully satisfied, the chairman will have another sign of Mylar.
There's a motion that the chairman and additional member of the planning board sign the Mylars once they're prepared and made final by Eric. Do I have a second?
Second.
Do I have any further discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? I shall concur. Motion carries. I don't know what else we can do for you. Any other questions of us?
We appreciate what you've done.
Jim, anything else?
Nope. I think that covers it.
All right. You're getting word cut off for you.
Make more scene.
So I don't know, like we'll probably, what do you think the traffic study will be prepared on?
I'm going to push for it to be done by the end of next week.
If the traffic study is done by the end of this week, would you be able to help us get it moving along for peer review once it's prepared?
Yep. Because it's really not that difficult, because it's not like we're retaining these services with public funds. So given the fact that it's being done with an escrow account, no, I can get an estimate from a traffic engineer, and we'll work it out.
Okay.
I will be in contact with Dick with a.
I'm sure you will.
With an amount.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. All right. Next up is your notice of possibility.
Hi, Lauren.
Good. So maybe you could start by giving us a little background information on who you are, what it is you're looking to do, where we left off from last month.
Yes. Laura Bachrach. One of the owners and founders of Foster Obedience. We're a dog education training facility. We serve as mates. We are looking to rent out a space on room 9, and we'll provide all of our maps and everything that was kind of a contingency for us last time on those maps. You'll find that the parking lots are now mapped out, lighting, fixtures, water, sewer, signage, and everything was completed as far as we needed from last time.
How happy are you, Jenna?
You finally got your map, too.
Yeah, but it's not 11 by 17. It's right there, that's for that.
So, are you done with your presentation?
Yeah.
I'd highly like to thank whoever worked so diligently to get us a site plan for this site. Awesome. That goes a long way towards being in favor of this season, at least.
That's divided inside. I mean, there's partitions inside.
Oh, yeah. There's a door, but I'm not going to lock that because if there was an emergency, they need access to the electrical panel.
Seems very appropriate.
So last month, from the minutes, it looked like On the site survey that was requested by someone who remained nameless but initials of John Arnold, that we should add delineation showing use of the right side only, lighting, sign location, parking delineation, septic tank, hours of operation, sanitary disposal, and that there is no entrance or access via Hoover Road.
Yes, this is a lot.
Yes, it has. No one can
hear. We had the last applicant here. Somebody took some diligence and made sure that.
Well, the driveway's still sketched in the dotted lines, but it's not.
Yes.
The parking spaces in the main parking area there?
Yes.
You have a lot more spaces than 9 there. Those are huge spaces that you drew on here.
Okay.
So standard size spaces are 10 by 20.
We're actually going to be 1 inch out, so
physical size. Yeah. That was my point. Is the spaces that you're showing on the map there make it look like you only have 9 spaces there? You can fit those 9 in and have room for a hole. Right, so you're good for 5. I'm going to assume that our 14 meets our requirements for a 36-by-1 pad, which is awesome. You said you'd be using the existing sign that's on the building?
We'll be putting something up in our window, so we will not be getting anything physically up. Not yet. Once we get a little more established, we plan to.
Just a FYI, the sign permits.
Yep, we have to do that.
That was where I was going with that.
Yes.
Thank you for no parking in front of the building. Since that is one of the ways in and out of the parking lot from Route 9. See, catch basin on here, and it could be just that I'm missing it, but I'm missing the septic for this.
Septic is what else? I mean, behind the building.
But is that the septic for the building?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I saw it there. I didn't know if it was for the building or for the trailer. It was right there, so.
So what's the plan for the sanitary disposal?
Can we take care of that ourselves?
Okay, take it off site daily?
Yeah.
All right, so the alternate room wants to know, this 20-foot wide easement granted the town road, what is that?
Ebook 1569 at page 582. It says it's a 20-foot wide easement granted to the town road. It's from this property between it and State Highway 9.
I
think we went through there with water line.
That could be it.
Yeah.
I suspect that's the case.
Yep.
Given the location right parallel with the state road.
We don't dumpster on site, you don't have a dumpster out there anywhere.
Nope.
No, you were taking the trash home.
Correct. It's not a daycare facility, so there's not as much waste as you may think. It's not a kennel or a boarding facility or anything, so you get maybe
that occasional.
Here and there, and that's it. And we do, we're diligent on taking that home and stuff like that.
So you're gonna just train them during the day and you wanna take them right back home?
Yeah, there's no.
How long are your classes roughly?
So our classes are an hour long.
So you have it every hour or every so often changes the
science. We also will be doing the train care program, as we mentioned previously, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, where an owner would drop off and then pick up in the afternoon. All dogs are our own students. Like we had said before, we have a no tolerance for noise, so excessive barking is not allowed. The owner would be notified to pick up their pet because it's not just disturbing to us, but it's just not allowed.
How long would the pet, how long would the span of the pet be there?
6 hours at most.
At most?
Yeah. Again, not overnight.
Until our classes begin, essentially.
So you are basically dog sitting then?
Dog sitting to an extent, but it's a training care program. So there are own clients. It's not open to the public. You can't just, not like a doggy daycare where you can drop them off. There's no free play. Noise is not an issue because we have a no tolerance level for issues with excessive barking and basically disobedient
It's essentially the dogs that are in training with us already, but if they need additional training, and they're not able to give them that because they're working and things like that, we are training them throughout the day with that drop off.
So how many dogs are you going to have on site?
At one time?
Yeah.
It depends on the class. If it's during class time, our class is max between 8 and 10. We don't go over. We do hold a reality class. Usually that is held off-site in cooler weather. People don't want to come out in cooler weather, so we usually get 8 to 10. Same for our transfer program. We wouldn't have more than 8 dogs there, 8 to 10 dogs there during the day. It's manageable and it's not.
And what are your hours going to be?
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it'll be 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. And then Monday through Friday, we're there. We do some privates throughout the day, but it's one dog at a time with one owner. And then our evening classes, they start at 6 p.m. and then they end at 8 p.m. So no one will be there past 9:30 after cleanup. And
so you said Monday, Wednesday, Friday is what?
10 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay. Thank you.
Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday?
Tuesday kind of in and out by appointment. Okay. By appointment. Same with Sunday. Sunday is one of our days that we try and take off, so that's really by appointment case. Saturdays we do hold classes from 9 to noon, and then we have seminars and educational workshops we hold for the public to help educate them on proper dog behavior, safety of dogs. We do therapy dog work, canine citizen work. We do hold those seminars on the weekends as well, just for the public to have more awareness of proper behavior.
So you're just going to use the bottom floor of that building?
Yeah, the side that we are renting is only one floor. The other side of it that we are not renting is two floors, but we're not in that space.
The second floor is just if it's only an attic. It's not a little usable space. Just adding a lot of area.
Yeah. Does that building have to be sprinkled at all for something like this?
I'm not the building inspector, but I don't believe so. I don't believe so.
I've spoken with Matt Dreimiller. We have to have fire extinguishers every 75 feet. So we'll be putting coolers in, we're putting CO and smokes in as well. And Matt's going to come take a look at it when we get a little further along with this.
So you're going to put the sensors in, fire alarm sensors and stuff. You're going to turn on the fire extinguishers? I mean, if they're there, they have to be used, right? Currently, so. That's a question.
Let's see. We're going to go. No, I mean, what else do we need to. What do we need to get this applicant up and running?
I think the only thing I saw was we had talked the last meeting about stipulating on site plan, which. I understand, you know, we're taking a survey or hand marking some things on there, and we agreed that that's okay. But we did say that we would get the hours of operation on the map that gets finally submitted, and the fact that there would be no on-site storage of trash and no entrance and exit to Louisville. That would be, we'll get that written on the actual.
What else?
Those conditions could be part of your final rule.
Yep.
So do you want to run them along, just to make sure we got them all, and make sure there's not anything that Jim might have that we can
What we had talked about last month was adding the hours of operation. A note that there will be no on-site storage of trash, and that there will be no entry or exit from Bluebird Road.
Entry or exit from Bluebird Road to the commercial building would be really important to you anyway.
Yep.
Right.
I know you're there. It's just one. We had talked about that last time. We want to remove that.
Jim, did you have anything else that you wanted to?
No, I'm going through my notes here from the last meeting, and that seems to be the lighting is okay. Correct. The lighting is shown.
Yeah. And those are the existing mounted lights that are on the building.
Yeah, I think all the other previous clarification of the area they're using, location of septic and public water, the public parking spaces have been shown, and the hours have been clarified. So, yeah, that's everything I had.
Board, any further?
Looks good.
Not for me.
And I would just like to note that the corrected site plan is going to have that information on the page. We don't need to have copies of it. It's just the one you bring in to find the site.
And you should have signature lines. The board is going to want to have two signature lines on there for two names. So it's as approved by the chairman, usually one signatory, and then one of the other members.
A little clerical on the map itself. There's a structure on the left-hand side of the map that's got a driveway access to this parking lot. It's listed as a Y rail. So if they're going to make a new map, they can make that typo correction while they're at it. Make it a trailer instead of a Y rail.
Board, any further? What's your next move? You want to set one for a public hearing as the next move? Or?
Well, absolutely. I think you're ready for it.
Yeah.
Next month. Can you be here for a public hearing?
What's the date of it?
It would be July
16th.
I'm sorry, yes, there's a slide, I think.
Yep, we can be here.
All change of use approvals in the town require a public hearing.
Okay.
So, I don't foresee any kind of controversy with this.
Yeah, it's the 16th, yeah, falls early.
That's what we need to hear.
Yes, no, I understand that.
Jim, will you be giving them the information or talking with them about what they need to put on the site plan so it's correct?
Yes, yep, I can work with you on that.
Is this where you have it written down as well?
Yep,
yes. And we have the 7 o'clock slot open.
7:01.
7:01 slot, I should say.
I'm waiting with that.
So I'll make a motion that we schedule a public hearing for North Country Pause for Obedience, site plan review, July 16th at 7:01.
I have a motion by John Arnold for public hearing on July 16th, 2018 at 7:01. Do I have a second? Second by Reed. Any further discussion? Not too controversial. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? I shall concur. Motion carries. Any other questions for us?
I have one question. After the public hearing in July, are they looking at, we had hoped to have them in a tenant operating for July 1st. Where does that leave us for a projected plan?
I'd be closer to July 17th.
Okay, we don't prorate months, so August 1st possibly?
And we don't do leases, sorry. So,
if everything goes well for the public hearing, we can waive the 30-day requirement for between preliminary approval and final approval. All right, and as of July 16th, they will have an approval from this board. So they can be in as of August 1st.
Barring anything else.
That's up to you guys after that. What they'll have is approval from us to operate.
So the earliest that they'd be looking at is after the July
16th public hearing, yes, sir.
So that's between you guys. If you want to lease it to them on July 1st, that's between you guys. If they won't have approval to use the property as they're requesting until July 16th. And I'm assuming there won't be busloads of people in here protesting.
There might be, but the residents there, although their plan is actually a whole lot more sanitary than most of the people living there.
So we do have a question. So in that case, since we are supposed to be in there July 1st, pending our approval, are we not able to even go in and do some of the work that we're planning on doing on the building before that hearing?
So like moving in, setting up, and not actually offering the services.
I think that would be your...
Exactly.
That's a risk. So if, for whatever reason, something happened on July 16th, and it could be approval didn't move forward and you had done that work, then you could potentially be at risk if things didn't, you know, get a favorable review.
But that would be a question that's not related to this
correct.
We cannot issue certificates of occupancy or anything like that. We're just looking at a site plan. That right is reserved for the building part. And we just have to let that stay with us.
Yep. Does that help?
Yeah, because we would like to move forward with doing a building inspection and at least starting to get it ready for business.
Come in and talk to us, and we can work out a schedule. I think that we can work on some things concurrently that'll give you something to, you know, give you some progress.
Okay. All
right.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You. Thank you.
Right. Thanks for your patience, Don.
Of course.
Okay, we have two other things.
Yeah, we do. I only see one other thing.
Well, there was that specter
that
of a person in the back from the Habitat for Humanity.
I saw him sitting back there. I thought he enjoyed our meat
so much.
Just coming for entertainment. To make sure we help other people.
But he can wait till after the comp plan discussion.
That's fine. That's his meme.
Well, with all due respect, though, like, we got to get this comp plan thing settled. So,
okay.
While you've still got some energy left, with all due respect, let's do that.
Right? Yep. I did draft, I left it for everybody up there, a resolution for you to consider in the event that you were of the mind to move this on. I'm not just gently trying to nudge. This along.
And so
there is still the opportunity. I wrote this in such a manner that if somebody had further comment for the revision, it could be passed on subject to that.
I have a question.
Yes.
I meant to ask this when we were reviewing the minutes from last time. On page 2116 at the bottom, three lines up, it says some discussion was had about the non-taking lines regarding non-conforming uses. And I don't know what that is.
That's the one that bugs me.
What is it?
The line in there that said that they were allowed to expand non-conforming use up to 50%. And it's called I call it a non-taking, mainly because if you change a zone and you take away a person's right to use their property, they can sue you for that happening that you took away. So they put this in, they slide this in. Well, that's what I call it. I don't know what it's called.
Well, it's kind of a unique thing. Some ordinances have this. They're in the minority. Most say a non-conforming use is a non-conforming use and any expansion requires a use variance.
Right.
This ordinance provides a little bit of a latitude, the one we're currently working under, that you can expand up to 50% basically as of right. And I understand John's point of view on that. Some people would have problems with that and say, everybody should come. Most ordinances say everything has to come for a use variance in the event of any expansion of a non-conforming use. That's very typical.
In the case of the particular topic we were discussing at that point, that non-conforming use expanded onto another parcel that wasn't even part of the original use of the original non-conforming parcel. Which just seemed bizarre to me. Okay, but I wondered if there was, I just asked Jim if there was some way to work that where you don't take away people's rights to use their property, but you don't allow them to just expand because they're not conforming.
Well,
another example is that apartment complex on Harris Avenue, which is an undersized lot. Because of it, they seem to have even more rights than people that were property.
Yeah, you seem that way. Yeah.
Right, so.
I mean, a non-conforming use is a, you know, it's viewed as, you know, it's a bad thing. I mean, we're trying to eliminate that use. There's no question about it. So that's why the standard is so high for it to expand. In most cases, in most communities, they make that standard very high because it is a use that is, I'm going to be blunt, it's not welcome.
It's not welcome in the zone
that it's in.
I would rephrase that. I wouldn't say it's a bad use. It's maybe an unfitting use.
Well, it doesn't fit in the zone in which it exists.
Exactly.
And so it's not welcome.
Right.
And and there's some, you're really trying to limit it. You're trying to say, we don't want this use here, and we're trying to transition it out.
I at least want to say we shouldn't be allowing it to expand. I mean, that's the main thing, because now you're allowing an increase in the number.
Let's put it there, and there's people who misinterpret the variance opportunity. Everybody's afforded an opportunity for a use variance. Not everybody, but I've heard the attorney for the Department of State say the way the laws are written in New York State for a use variance, the standards for that, there's not a use variance that should be approved in New York State.
I believe
that. I agree. The way the laws are.
Support any proposed additions, deletions, corrections to this draft?
And it's not your last opportunity to do this. This is going to go out to the town board. There's going to be public review there, their review, and another formal public hearing. So there's opportunity. I'm sure there will be further revision to this document.
Are we going to be, that's what I was going to ask, are we going to be maybe copying the minutes from that public review?
Oh, yeah, sure. No, you're actively involved in this. This is not ending your active involvement. You're actively going to be involved and kept up to date on the status.
Because I know we had our public hearing now.
Yes.
But if somebody isn't able to make the public hearing, the town has, it's still important.
I'll keep you in the loop on the minutes and the status and all that. If there's something I can't address and a question you have for me, I'll give the answer for you.
But any further revision to this, would that be as a member of the public or as this board?
As a member of the public. Yep. Once this board, if you act on this tonight, you as an entity are sending this out.
Yep. Okay. Right. Well, that's what I was hoping to hear.
Yeah.
So do you need me to read this?
Yeah, I'd like if you, I'd like you to do that. Yeah, I think it provides a good foundation.
So, the resolution of endorsement of the draft comprehensive plan and recommendation for adoption. Whereas the town rural planning board has been duly authorized to carry out specified functions under Article 16.271 of town law under the consolidated laws of New York State. Whereas town and rural planning board under the duly authorized functions as specified under Article 16.272-A of town law and the consolidated laws of the interstate has overseen and participated in the drafting of an update to the town and rural comprehensive plan. Whereas in October of 2017, the town and rural planning board conducted and presided over a properly noticed and administered public hearing for the benefit of interested persons to attend and be heard regarding comments on the draft comprehensive plan. Whereas the town and rural planning board has reviewed the draft comprehensive plan and offered comments resulting in the revision of the draft plan. Whereas the town and rural planning board has conducted a final review of the draft plan and finds the document to be representative of the needs of the residents and is setting forth a responsive plan to address these needs, and therefore be it resolved, the planning board of the town of Monroe endorses the draft comprehensive plan as revised and dated May 2018, and be it further resolved, the town of Monroe planning board formally passes the draft comprehensive plan onto the town board, and in doing so recommends adoption of the draft plan as the official comprehensive plan for the town of Monroe.
Just some discussion. When you read function of Article 16, that symbol means statute?
Section.
Section. 271, not point 271.
Oh, thanks.
For that, just for discussion.
Who was the motion made by?
The motion was made by who?
Reed.
So moved.
The motion for the resolution of endorsement of the draft comprehensive plan and recommending adoption by Reed. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Peter. Any further discussion? Would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Antis?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Bergman?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Jensen?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes.
Thank you all.
Reed. Good job, Jim.
Thank you for your patience.
Have yourself a fine evening just as a result of the having this.
There will be an extra beer in my future for this.
Yeah. Whatever we have in the zoning board, whatever the action is.
Yeah, so I got to do that next week.
I'll give you the fine evening.
Halfway home. Jim, thank you for your patience.
Yeah.
I appreciate
no,
you.
No, no.
I just wanted to get done reading it and look at it.
I think it's a. We're all looking to the point of getting to work on the zoning ordinance.
Yeah. Better after the halfway come. Really good. Yeah. It picked up.
Excitingly. Okay, and we have with us tonight.
That's okay. Sorry, thank you for bearing with us.
No problem. Actually.
Purposes of the record, sir, you are.
I am Adam Feldman, Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity of Northern Saratoga and White, Washington, Canada.
And
Adam, and you're really.
And Adam came in to see me with some questions relating to future changes with their site plan. And I think he's now understanding that it's a good idea to have more dialogue rather than not. And that's why he's here. He had some questions. I said the best thing to do is come in and ask the board what their impression would be. So that's why he's here. This is very informal.
Yeah. So first, I guess, thanks for approving our final site plan that we resubmitted based on your opinions.
Yes, sir. Are we in compliance now?
Are we in compliance?
Yes.
Yes, they are.
Then thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. So we are in compliance on site and we are in compliance on paper. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
See how that works?
Happier everybody is.
Yeah, exactly. So when we met the first time, months back, that was a number one priority to wrap that up before we came to you with an idea of expansion. During that discussion, throughout the discussions, we talked about potentially doing an annex building on site, and we were not ready to come forward with an official plan for that because it just takes a little bit longer. We are now ready, well, we will be ready soon to come forward, so this is the first conversation about our official attempt at doing that. So one of our board members is Chris Round. He's part of the Chasing Companies. One of our board members is Chris Round of the Chasing Companies. So Chris has offered to work on the amended site plan now? Is that the right vocabulary? Yeah, and we will likely be submitting that in July. So we're looking to expand a minimum of 2,400 square feet, but we will max. We'll basically maximize our square footage based on the limitations, which appear to be parking.
And I told him what we'd be wanting to see with the addition of more building, that the idea of the temporary storage structures in the back, you know, definitely go away.
Well, they're
going away anyhow, but...
Yeah, and that's one of the things I want to talk about tonight. So when we spoke back, I think, in March, you said it seemed to be a common theme at the board level that if we came forward with an idea to move forward, you would extend those containers as long as we were actively pursuing that opportunity.
So we're on June 30th deadline.
Correct, and we are still on the June 30th deadline, and if we need to meet the June 30th deadline, we can meet it. However... now that we are ready to push forward and have a strategic plan, and we've got $10,000 from the Glenn Spellis Foundation as seed money, and that's step one. We are hopeful that you guys would consider extending that use of containers as long as we continuously actively pursue an opportunity for an annex or whatever the site plan allows. And if at the moment when you say, no, we're not going to do this, or we're not going to do it until the spring, or whatever parameters you guys want to set, then we would remove those containers.
So basically tonight, one of the things you need is for us to consider, I don't know, need that form of motion, because you're going to pierce that June 30th deadline that we set, that we would entertain an extension of that condition.
Correct.
Do we need to do that now? What I'm wondering is can we leave the June 30th deadline in place? At this point, when you go past it, the clock's ticking.
Yeah.
Alright, so then if we decide a month later or 2 months later, you still haven't come forward with a plan, we can call and say,
they should take it, basically.
Not that we want to, you know, beat you over the head with it, but the idea being, instead of saying we're going to extend it 6 months, and then 6 months from now having this be the case all over again, it would seem to me that we can leave it there as June 30th was our time, but since you're proceeding forward, we can, you know, tell the guy that does compliance to drive by and not look.
Yeah, they need more.
I'm waiting for it.
Would that be hard? If you come forward in July with a plan that we're going to start looking at, that would probably be the appropriate time to start talking about.
Yes, I agree.
What we do to that.
Right.
So basically, between July 1 and July 16th, the officer is not going to take a close look.
Well, your submission deadline for the July 16th meeting will be July 2nd, so 2 days later.
July 2nd.
So,
which is Monday.
So if we have an active application in July 2nd, that's an indicator that there's action.
And that would satisfy.
Yeah. Do you have a sense of what you're thinking of doing?
Yeah, well, I have just a boring sketch.
But basically,
boring? Yeah, just a hand sketch.
So here.
And what's the use of the building? What are you trying to use that building for?
This. Well, we are going to maximize retail based on the parking lots, parking spaces.
Because you might be doing retail, not just storage out of that 2,500.
Correct. Did you have any luck with buying additional property?
Yeah, no, we called and they don't want to.
You know why? Because they're pushing for sewer again, so they're all looking at the cash cow. Wow. Otherwise, they'd be considering this applicant. But now they don't want to take a risk of losing out on the big money.
Which is fair.
So just give it another few months, and if the sewer thing falls through again,
Well, it's funny because we tried to get a hold of them, and their phone numbers aren't public until they posted the sign that said "for sale by owner."
Right. Consider when you're siting your building.
Yeah.
Consider the site making it so that you can get as much parking along the side of that building as possible. So you're still.
When you say the side.
If you can, yeah. Or if you put it across the back of the building and you can park right.
I would suggest pushing it to the back of the lot only because if my recollection is correct, that gets you 300 feet off of Route 9.
And yes.
For any reason you determine that it was only going to be storage.
Right.
There's a requirement that a warehouse under our current zoning be 300 feet off of
that. That's an independent.
Would the planning board consider variances in the back? Is that sort of
we don't consider
that. Oh, that's
another board, another application.
Yeah.
I know. They might.
Yeah.
They've been known to do that.
Yeah, and the parking restrictions are also
zoning
question.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
So that was what would happen is, in terms of semantics, when you present your kind of site plan on July 2nd,
yeah.
And then it comes to the board on July, planning board on July 16th, and we review it and say, here's some things that it looks like I'm going to need. I'm going to need a side setback variance or a rear setback variance or relaxation on number of parking spaces. And then we're going to say, okay, you should go see the zoning board at their next meeting, which would be following week, I think.
Yes.
You do have an active application.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's good. That you got. So you got the monthly foundation. You said
$10,000.
Yeah. So are things moving in a very organized, somewhat as best you can? Or is it always total chaos over there?
What do you mean from an operational perspective?
Yeah.
Well, I mean it's a donation-based retail opportunity. So there's a natural chaos that is just part of the operations.
Okay.
You know, like for example,
it's part of the
town
rhythm.
Yeah, like the town of Morrell like had their week-long garage sale.
Yeah.
You know, and so the Tuesday after that we open and 12 cars pull up and say, I can sell this to my garage sale, please take my junk. You know.
And what did you do?
We took probably half of it, turned away half of it, and then the other half, which adds up to 1.5, we threw away. you take the good and the bad, so. But really, I am extremely confident in my team. Charlie's going to get promoted soon, and we're probably going to hire an assistant manager under him. We're going to have an additional staff person.
And you guys collect sales tax and that?
We do.
So that makes up for the not-for-profit use of the...
Yeah, so we sold 25,000 items to date.
$25,000? Are you doing any internet for the small animals?
No.
Not yet, but we would like to.
Are you sophisticated enough where you make projections? Have you exceeded your projections?
We've exceeded our projections. Yeah, so.
Is that basically because it's a great location?
The location definitely helps.
No, it is a great location.
So the ReStore is basically a franchise. You know, each affiliate's around the country, they run them separately. So, you know, you do a demographic study, and they basically say, you know, how many people are above, you know, how many people are 120% of your AMI report. That's how many donations you're going to get. And then donations equal sales. And that's sort of how you do it. And they say, by year three, you should be at this base case. And so we were at that year three base case at month three.
Wow.
Wow.
That is good.
It's great. What's on the agenda for this year for housing?
So we are going to build housing. Yeah, of course, yeah. So we started our Lake George build this past week. And we have Grace Note, the Nielsen company. They're going to be there Thursday and Friday doing the foundation. And we have dates with CR Bar, so we just got a $5,000 grant from them for this house. And we have dates with Travelers Insurance already scheduled. JMC Architects is tentatively scheduled. Pike Development is tentatively scheduled. I'm trying to think.
You know, people donating their time for your.
Correct. Yeah.
That's great. Right.
Yeah. So Fast Track Cafe, we just came in at exit 18. For their part of their grand opening, they gave us a check for $10,000. They have a statewide partnership with Habitat for Humanity. Thank you very much.
And so we're
also talking about starting a critical repair program. So we've been around for 27 years. We basically built one home a year for the past 26 years. Then we built a duplex. So it was our first time we built two homes, even though it was just one unit split in half. But our goal is to get to five single standing units, single residents
per year.
And then we're talking about pretty preliminary right now about doing critical repair. So in Habitat World, the critical repair is anything that's $5,000 or more of repairs. And we probably would submit it as a housing for aging, because it's in general, because we're a home ownership. So if you own your home, but you can't afford to maintain your home, we support you in the maintenance of your home. And it tends to be for.
That's what you mean by critical repair.
Yeah, right. So somebody's 65 and they now need a ramp, we help them. Or you know, they need new plumbing because they haven't fixed it in 30 years. They need a new roof.
So they don't have
any income to support it. So same target group, you know, 30 to 80% of the average median income. And we just do a sliding scale payback. So if you're at 80%, you know, these are all policies are debated. But basically if you make 80% of the average median income, you're going to pay us back 80% of the cost of whatever we do. If you make 30% of the average median income, you pay us back 30% of the cost. So it's fair, it's equitable, you still put in your you know,
it's a great organization.
Our core philosophy is not to do a that, but you know, we always believe, you know, it's always a partnership. So
I want to say on behalf of the board too, Adam, I appreciate it. I think you've reached out of strength, built back some trust from where we started. So that's, you know, certainly speaks to your leadership and your team, so thanks.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to seeing something from you on July 2nd. And so to take it to the next step.
Great, good.
Anything else we can do right now?
That's it.
All right. So we're just standing between us and the door. So
this will help you have to sort stuff and have some problems.
I have 2,500 square feet on the walls. And I told Charlie, you're not getting the other 2,500 because it's a 5,000 square foot building. And so we, you know, right now, if he gave him 10,000 square feet, he would fill it. You know, and so, you know.
Are they able to take people under 10 rejection from, for things you have to say, literally have to say no for?
It's challenging. Some people are more tolerant than others.
I have a great culture.
I just want to say thank you for coming on our commercial business.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to have you.
Good.
Thanks, Adam.
How do you find that location? How is that location brought to the Habitat Agency?
We had a real estate person on our board, and we did analysis of the area, you know, through the comps, you know.
Motion.
Thanks for it. One second. I have a motion to adjourn. by Peter, second by Mike, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.
So we want to close to the center.